Here's the latest from Canadian lawyer, Law Times and Lexpert on June 23rd, 2023. I'm Steve Randall. If you're a lawyer or other legal professional thinking of making a move to another firm and figure you can write your own ticket, higher salary, remote work, and some other nice perks, you might want to think again. The hiring market, along with wages, has cooled somewhat. That's not to say firms aren't hiring, says Mark Fenwick, Senior Vice President of Corporate and Professional Services at Impact Recruitment. However, firms are taking a much more strategic approach in 2023.
The trend seems to be going towards almost less hybrid-based setups. I'm hearing more people try and remove the hybrid from what they're describing and go with flexible.
Emphasis is now placed on finding the right talent for in-demand practice areas. Practice areas that remain steady include labour and employment law and commercial real estate law, while commercial litigation, wills and estate litigation and family law are seeing a spike in demand. In contrast, residential real estate, corporate law and personal injury are experiencing a dip in 2023. The federal regulation that allows Canadian border authorities to send asylum seekers back to the United States when they arrive from that country to claim refugee status does not violate Section 7 of the Charter because of legislative safety valves, which can exempt claimants from return in certain circumstances, the Supreme Court of Canada has found. The regulation at issue in the case designated the US as a safe country for the purposes of the bilateral Canada-US Safe Third Country Agreement. While the court rejected the Section 7 challenge brought by the appellants, it allowed the part of their appeal concerning Section 15, the right to equality under the law. The appellants argued that certain provisions of the Immigration and Refugee Protection Act and its regulations violate charter-guaranteed equality rights because women facing gender-based persecution and sexual violence are frequently denied refugee status in the US. Andrew Brower acted for the Canadian Council for Refugees, Amnesty International, and the Canadian Council of Churches, who were among the appellants. He said that the federal government may want to act on the potential issues with the practical availability of these legislative safety valves.
If the government of Canada looking at how they need to respond to this, I think the clear signal that while the agreement may not be unconstitutional, individual exercises of administrative discretion to be constitutional need to make sure that individual claimants have access to those remedies. And right now, we maintain they don't. And I don't think that this decision alters that.
The Superior Court of Justice for Ontario has dismissed the case of a former vice chair of the Ontario Assessment Review Board who launched an $80 million class action suit against the province, claiming he and other appointees were terminated improperly and illegally from their full-time positions without cause. While the plaintiffs say the case speaks to the problems caused by the increased politicisation of tribunals in Ontario and how hundreds of members, vice chairs and other adjudicators lost their opportunity for renewal when the provisional government changed after the 2018 provincial election, the appeal court said that such tribunals are inherently political. Realistically, this class action involving the mass refusal of reappointment of adjudicators was going to be challenging, said Alexandra Monkhouse, one of the lawyers for the plaintiffs.
So I think the system was meant to cut out some of the politicization, but unfortunately the court decided that the government still has discretion to refuse reappointment.
Despite the outcome, Monkhouse said it was a valuable case to put before the court. Charles Herden, the managing partner of Norton Rose Fulbright Canada LLP, spoke to Canadian Lawyer this week about his role at the firm and how he came to lead the Canadian offices.
I'm 9 years in the role now. The year before I was managing partner, I became the managing partner of the Ottawa office, which is the smallest office in the firm in Canada. And I also was the practice group leader of our employment and labor group, only for 1 year. We were going through a pretty interesting time as a firm where we had merged with a large global player. We had merged with a Calgary firm, McLeod Dixon, a very good Calgary firm. You know, there were challenges when you take a firm in the East and merge it with a firm in the West. There were some challenges, and some partners came to me and said that they thought I could help with the digestion of those challenges. And I said, you're crazy. I'm in the smallest group in the smallest office, and I'm not connected to any of the power brokers in the firm. And I still think they're crazy. But I ended up being in the mix with five other candidates, I believe it was, six total, and ultimately ended up, even though I had promised my spouse that it would never happen, it did happen, and it's been 9 years.
He also spoke about how the demand for his firm's legal services has remained strong despite economic headwinds.
We've had a very, very strong first 5 months, really sort of on pace with the 2021 year, which was extraordinarily successful for firms, you know, across the country because of activity coming out of the pandemic. So the things that we expected to slow have not slowed. M&A activity has not slowed for us. I know it has in some spots for firms, but has not. So it's really kind of a head scratcher, and we're still prepared for it, and we're still, you know, concerned about it, and taking steps to make sure that when or if it does come, we are ready for it, but really haven't seen it yet.
And he addressed the challenge of mentoring after the pandemic disruption.
I worry about the sort of lost generation of associates that haven't had enough, you know, hands-on experience on matters because they have been remote. And do think it's important that our partners be in the office and mentor and train and just have people learn by osmosis by being, you know, around it. But that's a continuing struggle. And I think, you know, leaders are going to be faced with that struggle for many years to come. There's been a real seismic shift in mentality about that. And I think one of the things that's hard to argue with is, while it may have just been short term, you know, firms were successful in completely remote work. And many roles, it's hard to argue, have to come back to the office. But I think the mentoring piece is one we're going to have to, you know, to really, really figure out, because it's a challenging one.
Herdon is a judge at this year's Lexpert Rising Stars Awards, honouring leading lawyers under 40 from law firms, in-house departments and other practices. Nominations are open until July 7th. Winners will be announced on November 23rd. While the key Bank of Canada rate is likely at or near its peak, former Bank of Canada Governor David Dodge, now a senior advisor at Bennett Jones LLP, says he does not expect any loosening of monetary policy in 2023, and rates will likely only come down gradually in 2024 and 2025, depending on the stickiness of inflation.
It'll be very difficult to get total CPI down to 2% by the end of 2025. Given this stickiness of inflation, we continue to hold the view that the Fed and the Bank of Canada will have to keep their policy rates higher for longer than many analysts believe will be the case. We see peak rates of 5.5% in the U.S., 5% in Canada late this year. Then a slow decline through 24 and 25, which will lead policy rates still close to 3% at the end of 2025.
You'll find the links to these stories in the show notes. And to get the latest CL Talk episodes automatically in your favourite podcast app, just click follow or subscribe.